Greetings, friend, and welcome to Trumpets of Truth International Boot Camp Part 19, Equipping the Saints for Ministry. And this is on Recognizing Your Enemy, Part 2. By their fruits, we will know them. The first thing you have to understand is the Holy Spirit is not fooled. Over years of ministering Isaiah 61, or the Deliverance Ministry, we have come to recognize individual spirits by the pictures or visions that are repeatedly given by the Holy Spirit to pinpoint a certain entity. For instance, if the Spirit shows us a mushroom cloud, as in the aftermath of an atomic bomb, we know we are dealing with the spirit of insanity. Our flesh feels irritable when this spirit is around us. We may experience symptoms of panic, unusual fear, or our thoughts may seem to race, etc. All these sensations are fruits of the insanity spirit being in our atmosphere. Therefore, even if we are ministering to a person that seems totally in control, they war against our flesh, and along with the vision the Spirit gave us, we are not fooled. They will therefore receive deliverance and be set free from the evil entity that would have at some point caused horrible havoc in their life. Why does the Holy Spirit show us symbolic visions rather than the literal form of the evil spirit? The only answer I can come up with is, we would not be able to identify the spirit itself for the most part, as they are not normally visible to us. We cannot therefore recognize them through familiarity as we do people. Visions, on the other hand, at least point us to the correct category, and we can more easily discern what spirit is operating in that environment through ministry training, experience, and above all, as led by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at some of the common symbols of evil spirits. The first one is an Antichrist-related spirit. You may see a thunderbird, mourning bird of American Indian lore, a swine, or a pig. Next is anger. You possibly may see a wolf lying low. Next is attacking or accusing spirit. You may see a bulldog. How about a confusion spirit? Well, it may look like a rat on each shoulder of a person speaking different things into their ear. A control spirit may appear as a spider, octopus, crab. It controls us through its arms, leading to many hurts and wounds in a person. Just as a person seems to be almost free, it will pull one of its tentacles to cause the person to pull back. The spirit conveys, "No one sees me," and will slowly cause bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, and suicide to surface. A death spirit may appear as a hooded figure, an owl, or a coffin. Drugs or alcohol spirit may sometimes take the form of a snake. An emotional spirit, hurricanes or tornadoes. How about a familiar spirit? Well, it may appear to be the same size and shape as the person, but with no face or possibly oriental features. An imp or brownie, as in fairy tales, sitting on the head or shoulder may be one. How about a fear spirit? Well, it can appear as a snake attacking or wrapping around a person head to foot. A generational inheritance spirit may look like a many-layered cake. An idol worship spirit. Now, this is anything placed before God, as in money, spouse, children, a country, whatever. These sometimes can be generation spirits also. Images can be of the thing idolized, as in religious statues, totem pole, or as in food addiction, a sugar bowl may depict the idol. A Jezebel spirit may appear as an ape or a gorilla, or once I saw it as a grotesque face of a woman with makeup, long, sharp nails, etc. A judgmental spirit as well as memory spirits may appear as an elephant. Legion spirits may appear as a swarm of flies, fleas, or etc. A lust spirit is almost always a frog. A Madonna spirit, usually in the stereotyped Madonna, controlled, dogmatic, must have her own way. An occult spirit can appear as colors or as a person's eyeballs spin around, hands clench, then you'll know what it is. It also may appear as an astrological sign. A panic spirit, lots of little things scurrying, such as mice, a passive spirit, a blanket, a person hiding. A poverty spirit may look like a raggedy person or a person that's dressed in tatters. A pride spirit may appear as a rooster or sometimes a frog with its chest all puffed out strutting around. Person may be seen dressed as a prince or princess. A queen mother spirit may appear as a queen bee. A religious spirit. It overlaps with idol worship. May look like an old-fashioned plow, a yarmulke, the little hat that's worn by the Hebrews. Lady teacher type. High-button shoes. Maybe a long black dress. A shell spirit. This is any kind of false protection. May appear as a wall, a shell, a turtle, a transparent bag. Spiritual blindness or deafness spirit. This may come to you as a monkey with hands over eyes or ears. Appears as a band around the person's head. Spiritual ignorance spirit. May look like a hairnet on top of the head. A suicide spirit. Maybe a blackbird or a raven. A tradition spirit. This is often seen as a dragon. An unforgiveness spirit. Also can be a serpent wrapped around a person or chains or cords. How about a witchcraft spirit? This may appear as a witch, the hex signs, or crows. A worry spirit may appear as darkness or a whirlwind. See, these are but a few and are not given to be memorized, but if referred to, the list can perhaps help give an idea of what is being dealt with. The Holy Spirit is always the final authority, however, and not what is in our minds. We must be sensitive to the Spirit always. For instance, at times, walls mean a shell spirit has been assigned by a Jezebelic principality to hide itself. But at others, the wall may simply mean the person needs emotional healing and has built a wall around themselves to keep from being hurt. The Holy Spirit always knows which is the case when we do not. A green lizard, alligator, or snake can symbolize jealousy for the most part, but sometimes it can also stand for fear. The Holy Spirit will not only give us visions, but He will interpret them as well, sometimes through the ministers, or perhaps through the person receiving the deliverance. See, what we're doing is warring against the spirits. When people are down, depressed, angry, fearful, jealous, etc., don't look at the flesh. Try to discern what spirit is the cause of their actions and pray for them. War can be that part of God that is a wall of fire around His people. When we know the lifestyle of someone well enough to know they have allowed cracks to form in them through the works of the flesh, encourage them to repent, go through deliverance, be cleaned up, perhaps even be rebaptized, so the enemy can be defeated and released from their lives. Without this change, there is no way they can be overcomers and enter the kingdom. This war is against Satan. Fight for that person. Perhaps they are so bound up that they can't even see the enemy operating in them. They may defend the right to be who they think they are and fight to continue to do what they want to do, which causes grief to the godly around them. But hard as it can be to deal with sometimes, just know that it's still not them. Do combat against the spirit controlling them. For instance, we can pray their home environment clean. Let them be isolated in a pure atmosphere if possible. Sometimes when outside entities are blocked from interfering, and a person can be locked up with their pet demons in a spiritual cell of purity and righteousness, so to speak, they get a better perspective of themselves. They see who they have become and want rid of what has caused their condition. This is especially the case when principalities and powers of darkness have had real strongholds over them. We can see these evil forces if we are discerning, wrecking their lives, health, and chances of being happiness. So now, who is in need of deliverance? All that want to walk holy must experience Isaiah 61, and it's absolutely mandatory for all that want to be ministers. We reproduce what we are in those we are helping. For this reason, it can be very destructive to the people we mentor if we have secret problems or live double lives. See, God is not a hypocrite, nor is the Holy Spirit fooled. The Bible says, cast the beam from your own eye before you try to cast it from another. If you are not able to stop doing something that is wrong, or in other words, are not able to exercise your will and change, then you are operating under an obsession, a compulsion, or an addiction, and definitely are in need of deliverance. You are existing under the authority of a demon, and don't be fooled. You are its captive. No one wants to be in that kind of bondage as a rule, and no one, especially a minister, wants to transfer spirits to others. So the ministry of deliverance is very much sought after. God wants all of his family set free, but he will only do what each person, through a free will and by their own choice, will allow. God will never step over our will. So what do these spirits hope to accomplish? Did you realize that the account in Ezekiel we looked at the last week concerning the king of Tyre was a prophetic picture of the body of Antichrist? This wicked body of people is being gathered as we speak to come against those that make up the body of Christ. King Antichrist will come against King Jesus Christ in the ultimate battle for dominion of this planet and its people. We see as prophesied in Daniel 11:36-38 the personality of this evil king. And it says, then the king, which is the full stature of the body of Antichrist, shall do according to his own will. You see, he's lawless and does as he chooses. He will exalt and magnify himself. He has to be looked at as the greatest. Above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods. This kind will not see Jesus and others, and will call the gifting of godly people phony, fake, or demonic, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. You see, Satan will always prosper his own. For what has been determined shall be done. His defeat was accomplished before the earth was formed, but he is given a certain amount of time to draw the evil ones to him, thus doing the separating for God. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, he has no respect for his heavenly Father, nor the desire of women. This spirit promotes a man's world. Women have no real value, and many are homosexuals. Nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. The god in this king, as in the god of Tyre, was Satan. We must be discerning and wise to spiritual things, or we too will be, without knowing it, a part of that body. If we are ones that have been drawn to his pleasures, we may be greatly enjoying our worldly lives today and secretly mocking those who are walking holy. But let us read on in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. See, worldly people that are enjoying worldly pleasures and walking according to the morals, trends, and standards of today are not going to be found in the book of life. Now, James tells us in James 4:4, an illicit affair with the world results in spiritual adultery and separation from God. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The church is, for the most part, filled with these lawless ones and is mostly lying spiritually dead on the street, powerless and dull of knowledge. Why? Because she didn't walk holy. Satan filled her people with hypocrisy and false doctrine that allowed sin. She therefore became an abomination to the Lord, who absolutely demands holiness. A new generation of people is being awakened, however, and is being called out of her. Some will be discerning of the attempt of Satan to pollute them. Others will return to the old church and be a part of the evil king. Now let us read on in Daniel 12, verse 2. And it says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, these are ones that are dead on the street, shall awake, some to everlasting life, which is immortality, some to shame and everlasting contempt." See, they will let Satan lure them right back to the world and death. Those that are not fooled will become a part of the body of the King of Righteousness and are the church triumphant in fulfillment of 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 52. And it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. See, we are incorrupt through being one loaf with him. But behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound," or revelation will be released, "and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed," or made immortal. Daniel, who understood these things, was instructed to close up the knowledge until the end times, and that when the end time to rise, knowledge would increase. Daniel 12:4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro to carry out the truth, and knowledge shall increase." Now let us look at this same prophetic promise starting in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." See, this valley is the valley of decision, where mankind makes the decision to change and become holy or remain worldly. Verse 2, "Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." This means there was no revelation or no truth there. Verse 3, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live." Now looking at Ezekiel 37 verse 10, it says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. These are the warriors of Israel." Verse 11, "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." Here's God's promise, however, in verses 13 and 14. "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, where they laid spiritually dead, O my people, and have brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you," which means they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, "and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land," meaning that we have become Israel. "Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it," says the Lord. Now, let us move to the New Testament fulfillment of this prophecy in Revelations 11:11. And it says, "Now after 3.5 days, and remember, 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them." See, these scriptures are talking about God's end-time people, the army of God. They are Israel warriors that unite as the body of Christ. This means it is finished. Satan will do his best, however, to lead those newly revived from the watery grave of baptism into destruction so they cannot be a part of the end-time army. He will attempt to send them back to the spiritually dead church where they were no threat to him. But if they are discerning ones and obedient to the voice of God for direction, they will themselves take advantage of God's deliverance ministry, eradicate the enemy from their lives, and encourage others to do likewise, so they are not controlled by the enemy. The light of the obedient will shine clearly for others to follow as they remain faithfully in God's army to defeat the body of Satan or Antichrist. They will forever be a part of the victorious church eternal and will walk into eternity as a member of the body of Christ. Every evil spirit plaguing mankind will be bound, time will come to an end, and graves will be empty. All creation that is now corruptible will become incorruptible, and all that is mortal will become immortal, finally bringing to pass the fulfillment of the last statement of Jesus as a man on the cross, "It is finished." And oh, what a glorious time that will be. Okay, friend, that wraps up this lecture on Recognizing Your Enemy, Part 2. And as always, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you'd like to know more about us, be sure to visit our website at www.trumpetsoftruth.com. And may you be blessed in all that you do, in Jesus' name. Truth.